Today we're continuing and actually wrapping up our series of messages we call The Call of Duty, The Principles of Fatherhood. This is a series that has been close to my heart, and I know some of the guys may be tired of Pastor Chuck getting on them for the past few weeks. We might even have some brothers missing today. They said, "I'm going to come back when he gets done with that message." Because, you know, tired of Pastor Chuck getting on my neck about this. So today is the day that we wrap up this series. And like I said, it's very dear to my heart. I believe that God has called me to speak directly into the hearts of men everywhere, because I believe that that's the foundation of our families. It's the foundation of our communities. It's the foundation of our nation is found inside what God put in the man. So manhood is important to me, and fatherhood is important to me. Being a father myself, I kind of understand what the father deals with when he deals with us. I don't think you really understand the things of God until you have children. And you start to see your children, and if you have multiple children, you get to see different types of children. Because not every two are the same. Each one has their own personality, has their own agendas, their own beliefs. Well, not so much beliefs, but their own way of doing things. And you got to kind of tailor your parenting to match the child. At least I hope you're doing that, because one way won't work with Sally like it did with Michael. Sally's a little different than Michael, so a good parent would recognize those differences and see how to respond accordingly. You know, you only had to spank Michael once, and he got the message. But Sally doesn't get the message. She is tough. She can endure the spanking. So you might have to have something, another technique that will work with Sally. Sally may not respond that well to timeouts. She may need timeouts or privileges revoked in order for her to get the message. So good parents understand this, and I believe God the Father deals that way with us as well. Today we're not going to be in any particular text, but we're going to kind of bounce around, as there are 5 points that I want to make today about the principles of fatherhood. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, is where we'll begin. If you want to jump ahead, you may want to put a finger in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And also Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. So that's kind of a roadmap of where we're going to go today. So you can find them now or you can find them later. But we'll begin in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Just one verse of scripture. If you've been with us for any time, you've noticed that Pastor Chuck always refers to the first three chapters of Genesis. I believe I could probably teach for 3 years straight just from those three chapters of Scripture. They're so full of information and so full of vital substance that we can glean and learn from. Genesis chapter 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it." The first principle of fatherhood I want you to understand is a father must dwell in God's presence. One thing I noticed about this verse of scripture is that the Bible says that God took the man and put him in the garden. In other words, he didn't ask the man if he wanted to go to the garden. This was non-negotiable. He didn't have a conversation with the man. He didn't go to the man and say, hey, look, man, let's sit down and have a talk. There's some place that I desire for you to be. What do you think about this proposition? He doesn't do that. He just said, the Bible said God took the man and put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. So in other words, God said, I already have a prescribed purpose for your life. I've already set up the environment that you're going to thrive in. See, Eden, this garden in Eden, is a symbolism of God's presence. It was God's prescribed place for him to interact with the man. It was his place on earth. He created this whole wide earth and he said, inside this earth, there's a place that I've already prescribed, that I've already picked out, that I've already surveyed, I've already prepared this place for my presence to be. And you need to be inside this place in order to interact with me the way that I created you to interact with me. See, God gives us our senses. He gives us the ability to see, the ability to smell, the ability to touch, to taste. He gives us these senses so that we can experience him in all of those senses. So he says, look, I prepared this place and I'm not going to talk to you about what your purpose is. I'm not going to talk to you about where you are supposed to be and give you an opportunity to come back with some of your ideas. He said, I'm just going to place you where you need to be. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. This is particularly when we have young children. As children grow older, we give them opportunities to provide input into the family activities. But when they're young, you tell them when to get up, what they're going to wear, and where they're going to be for that day. You plan all of their activities for them. You don't sit with your three-year-old and go back and forth about what she's going to wear to school. You picked out what you wanted to pick out, and that's what she's going to wear. You know what's best for her. Amen? The important thing for us to understand is that Eden was not simply a place on the map. It's an atmosphere. See, God does not dwell in a particular place. He dwells in an atmosphere that you need to cultivate, an atmosphere that you need to find, an atmosphere that you need to help determine in your life what the atmosphere is going to be. Is this going to be a house that serves idols, or is this going to be a house that serves the Lord? That's why Joshua said, choose this day what type of house you're going to have. You're going to have a house full of idols, or you're going to have a house full of God? Because, see, darkness has no fellowship with light. Are you following me? Eden was not optional. The presence of God is not optional for a father. The presence of God is mandatory for a father. See, because in the presence of the Lord, there is the fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, that's the place where you find yourself being fulfilled and find yourself being equipped for the service of fatherhood. Like, there was a movie that came out a while back called Independence Day. This movie starring Will Smith playing a Air Force pilot. And the premise of the movie was that aliens had come to Earth to invade the planet. You guys know the movie. It was a blockbuster hit, came out on the 4th of July many years ago, and it was about these aliens came down to invade the planet. And in the story, if you know the movie, you see that there was a ship that had come to the planet. And then it comes to find out that the government had one of their ships already that had crashed many years ago. I think the premise in the movie, the ship had been a scout ship or something, and it had crashed like in the 1950s, and they found it, and they had kept it and they didn't know what to do with it. But then when this invasion started to take place, as the presence of the bigger ship came closer to the earth, the little ship started to tweak. The little ship started to come to life when the presence of the big ship. Oh, you guys aren't following me. You're not following me. See, the bigger ship represents the presence of God. The little ship represents His Spirit inside of you. And the further you get away with your little spirit gets away from His big spirit, the further away you get, the more dead you become. But the closer you come to the big ship, the more time you get into the presence of the big ship, then you begin to come to life. The lights start to come on. Oh, you guys aren't following me. You guys don't watch movies. They say, no, Pastor, I've been saved all my life. We don't watch movies. I don't know what you're talking about. But those of you who do, and seeing the movie, you see that the little ship came to life and it was restored back to life. That's the same way a father must be. A father has to be in the presence of the Father in order to come to life. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to you your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. See, when you dwell in the Spirit, His Spirit dwells in you. But you can only get God's Spirit in His presence. A father must dwell in the presence of God. Father who does not dwell in the presence of God is essentially dead. You're walking, but you're the walking dead, because the Spirit of God is not alive inside of you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In order for you to answer the call of duty, you must enact this principle of fatherhood, of being in the presence of God. You must desire to dwell in His presence. See, the first thing, the essential thing that a father needs is the presence of God. Father has to recognize that he needs to be in the presence of the Lord, because in the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. When you're in the presence of God, God will bring to you the other essentials of life. You need proof? Adam didn't have to go get Eve. The way I read it, God brought Eve to Adam because he was in His presence. See, when you practice going after the presence of God, then everything else will be brought to you by God. When you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you. Try to explain to my young men all the time is that you can make a choice. You can choose to chase money, or you can have the money chase you. When you see God and His purpose in your life, then the money will chase you. Then the favor will chase you. The notoriety will chase you. The blessing will chase you and overtake you when you seek first the kingdom of God. But if you go after it and chase after it, you'll be chasing all of your life. The song said, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do. Come on now, we've seen these songs, we better know what they mean. I'm chasing after God, and then all of the blessings He'll bring to my presence. Are you following me? Adam didn't have to leave the garden to find a suitable mate. Adam was in the presence of God. He dwelt in the presence of God. He stayed in the presence of God, and everything that he needed was brought to him. Adam got hungry, there was the fruit tree. Are you following? Adam got thirsty, there were the rivers that flowed through Eden, one of them being the river Havilah. Are you following me? Where there is gold. There was gold in the river. Are you following me? Adam didn't need gold because there was no exchanging of goods. It was whatever you needed, it was there. He didn't have to work hard to get what he needed. It was already there. Are you following me? Because he was in the presence of God. A father must be in the presence of God. Listen, what the enemy wants the father to do is to not be in the presence of God. Listen, man, the enemy is cunning. The Bible said that he would fool and deceive even the very elect. But you got to know what his game is. His game is to get you out of the presence of God. See, because when the Bible says in the presence of God, there's the fullness of joy. If I can get you out of the presence of God, then I could take away your joy. And if I could take away your joy, I could take away your faith. And ultimately, that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to stop having faith in the God who delivers, the God that heals. So his primary purpose is to get you out of the presence of the Lord. How does he get Adam and Eve out of the presence of the Lord? The first thing he does is get them to doubt the word of God. Quite interesting how he does that. He takes something very simple and makes it more complex. You guys living in 2012, a lot of simple stuff going on in 2012 that they made very complex. Are you following me? We're having discussions and political discussions and forums and all this stuff over stuff that's really quite simple. Are you following me? But the thing is, you make it so complex and so convoluted and all of these things you add to it, and people don't know what's right from wrong. People in the church don't even know what's right from wrong. Are you following me? So Satan's game plan is to keep the father, especially the father. Satan wasn't after Eve, but he used Eve. Paul said it was not the man who was deceived, it was the woman who was deceived. That was Paul referring to what took place in Genesis 3. But Satan wasn't after the woman. And if you read the whole story through and through, when Eve ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit, nothing happened. It wasn't until Adam ate the fruit that the fall occurred. But Satan knew all along that he wasn't after Eve. He was after Adam. He was after the father. He was after the man. He wanted to separate them from the Lord, because he knows that if you can divide, you can conquer. If I can separate you from the Lord, are you following? If I can separate you from God's presence, then I can get my hands on you. Then I can begin to work on your life. I can separate you from good Bible teaching. If I can separate you from that word of encouragement that you might receive on that Sunday morning. If I can separate you from that word of correction that somebody might come to you on Sunday morning and say, hey, brother, you're not looking too good. How's everything been going? If I can separate you from the conviction that you might feel when you come to church. See, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. See, the enemy will say it's condemnation. You don't want to go to church because people look at you funny. People judge you. That's condemnation. So a lot of people are rolling over right now at home in their beds because they didn't want to come to church because of fear of someone would judge them. Are you following me? Who do you think put that thought in their head? Not the God I serve. The God I serve doesn't operate in fear. Condemnation is a result of fear. The God I serve is a God of faith. It's a God of hope. And conviction always leads you to hope. Conviction leads you to faith. Conviction says, yeah, you're doing wrong. Like Michael Jackson, you're doing wrong. Right? Conviction says, you're doing wrong, but guess what? I want to point you to what's right. Are you following me? Conviction is an act of love. It says you're doing wrong, and we're going to acknowledge that what you're doing, the way you're living, your lifestyle, your choices that you're making, those are the wrong choices. But I want to point you to the right choice. I want to point you to the direct answers. Are you following me? I want to point you to your healing. I want to point you to your breakthrough. Condemnation says you're going to hell. That's it. Done deal. Are you following me? Burn, baby, burn. Are you following me? But conviction says, turn, baby, turn. Go the other way. That's the wrong way. I love you. I'm not going to let you go that way because I love you. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to hate on you. I love you, so I got to tell you the truth. Are you following me? Satan's game plan is to keep you out of the presence of God. Or we could stay there all day, but we have a place to go. The second principle is to manifest what God put inside of you. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created for good works. Are you following me? Let me complete that here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's look at that. You might want to underline it, highlight it, do whatever you need. It says, "But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I'm reading from the New King James Version. To bring something to manifestation requires us to work it out. Are you following me? It requires work. The Bible says that we were created for good works. Doesn't say we were created to have a good job. See, there's a difference between a job and work. Are you following me? Say, well, no, I'm not following you, Pastor. What are you talking about? Listen, a job will never prosper you, but your work will. Are you following? Your job might help you pay the bills, but your work might help you leave a legacy. Are you following me? See, a job is just a tool that you use to get the finances you need to do the work that God called you to do. Oh, you guys aren't following me. That was an amen moment, if I never heard one. Your job is where you go to earn the money that will help you do the work that God purposed for you to do. Are you following me? It's only a means to an end. It's not the end itself. Are you following me? That's why we can't get too caught up in our jobs, because you can get a pink slip. You can get a pink slip real quick. We're downsizing. We're cutting back. We're moving location. Or we just don't like you no more. Are you following me? So you can lose a job, but that doesn't mean you lose your purpose. So your work is connected to your purpose. Your work is that thing that God has placed inside of you that he wants to bring out of you that is going to be used to bless others. That's your work, fellas. That's the work of a father. Is that thing that God put inside of you that eventually wants to come out of you to be a blessing, not only to yourself, but to be a blessing to others. Are you following me? A father must not only find a job, he has to find his work. His work meaning his purpose. What is the specific thing that God has placed inside of me that no one else could do? Listen, no one else could do your work. Listen, you may be a plumber and there may be other plumbers, right? You may be a pastor, but there may be other pastors. You may be a cook, but there may be other cooks. But that doesn't mean that your work can be done by someone else. Your job can be done by someone else. But your work here on this earth cannot be done by anyone but you. Because God purposed for you to do it. Are you following me? They might have some temporary assistance to hold it up, but your work can only be done by you. Are you following me? Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "But let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father." How do you know if you're walking in your purpose? How do you know if you're putting forth good works? It causes other people to glorify God. Listen, when you're doing your good work, then people will glorify God because of you. They won't curse him because of you. Are you following me? They're not going to curse God because the type of father that you were. They're going to glorify God because the type of father that you were. Are you following me? Listen, if you're an abusive father, verbally, emotionally, physically, then that's not good work. And nobody's going to glorify God for you. They're not going to be thankful that you're in their lives. They're not going to say, thank God I have a man that beats the crap out of me. I'm not going to glorify God for that. Are you following me? But when your works are good, when you know how to cultivate your family and your wife, then they're going to say, oh, praise God. Glory to God in the highest. For this father has good works. Every man, every father must ask this question. What is it that God has placed inside of me that the world is supposed to benefit from? That's the question. What is it that God has placed inside of me that the world is supposed to benefit from? The desire of every man should be to leave the world a better place than what he found it. Are you following me? Our works will cause us to glorify God. But the problem is that some men are afraid of their work. Some are just afraid to work. At all. Just afraid of work. You mean every day? But other men are afraid of their work. What are you saying? They're afraid of their purpose. It's too grandiose. It's too big. It's unattainable. It doesn't look possible. Wait a minute. This thing is too big. What are you? I'm supposed to do all of that? And I'm only all of this? So a lot of men are just afraid of their work. I'm supposed to help the kids with their schoolwork. I'm supposed to take them to basketball and baseball and to dance class and to music lessons. And I'm supposed to teach them the word of God. And I got to go to work. Come on, man. This is just too much. But listen, if your work was small enough for you to do, then it wouldn't be big enough to come from God. Are you following me? See, God never gives us the complete picture. He never gives us the completed work. He only gives us bits and pieces at a time. And I love him for that he doesn't let us know everything that you're going to go through. When God says, look, Chuck, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to start a church from scratch with no money, no experience, with no nothing. And he doesn't tell me what it's going to cost. Are you following me? He doesn't tell me all of the pitfalls and the valleys that we're going to go through to before we get to. What he does is he shows me a vision. A vision is just a picture of what's to come. It's a picture of the completed work, but it's not the completed work itself. It's the picture, but it's not the process. See, if God told you the process, then you would quickly, you know all about repentance then, because you would turn away and you would run. Jonah, you'll find yourself in the belly of a whale. Are you following me? Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans of a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. So what that means is we as fathers, as just humans, period, we can come up with all sorts of plans of our own and things that we desire, and we can sit down and write down our 3-year plan, our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, our 25-year plan, but really it's the purpose that of God that actually prevails in our lives. And success is when our plan equals his plan. That's when you find success. Success is not how much money you have in the bank. Success is, does my plan equal God's plan, and am I fulfilling his plan? My success is not in my workplace. My success is, am I working the plan that God has for my life? That's where a father finds his success. So a father must dwell in God's presence. He must manifest what God has put inside of him by way of working, and then he must cultivate the gifts that God has placed in others. Listen, I love my job as a father, my work as a father, in cultivating my children, in cultivating my wife. If you ever did any plant, have any of you ever done any gardening? Listen, God loves gardens. And I'm beginning to see why he loves gardens. Because there's such a microcosm of life. You have beautiful plants in the gardens, and then you have unwanted, unnecessary plants in the garden. Listen, always when I'm outside weeding my garden, I can't help but to think of how sin is. See, the longer you let that weed take root, the more difficult it is for you to uproot it when it's time. You got to catch the weed before it takes root. Are you following me? And the weed always comes up with the good stuff. So sin is always present. It's always present in the good stuff. And it doesn't matter how well you lay the foundation. The weeds are going to find a way. And I mean, I put down weed fabric. I cultivate. I till the land. Turned it up. What they call it. You turn up the soil. Spray it with the Roundup weed killer. Right? You spray it up. And you let it sit for a week or 2 weeks. Whatever the prescription is. And then after that you go in and you lay weed fabric. That's supposed to prevent the weeds from coming through. And then you go through and you plant all of your beautiful flowers, your lilies, your chrysanthemums, all your beautiful flowers that you put in there. You got a palm tree there and all of this beautiful stuff that, and it looks really good. And then a couple weeks later, here come those weeds. You're like, man, I read my word. I went to church. I go to Bible study. I call the prayer line. I have my personal devotions with the Lord every morning, but sin is ever present. Keeps on creeping, exactly, is the word. Amen? But the thing is, when you do all those things, there's less sin you have to deal with. There's, when you cultivate the soil and you go through that process, then you should see what it looks like when you don't do that. You're just wasting your time trying to plant something out there. If you don't do any of that, then you're just wasting your time. All those beautiful flowers will be gone because what a weed does is it chokes. You guys remember that cartoon way back in the day? There was a cartoon. I think it was one of the Looney Tunes. And they had a beautiful flower. And you guys don't remember that one? And a weed would come up and it would choke the flower. And they would spray it and run away, and it would always come. And the flower was like a girl, and the weed was like a guy, and he would come in. You guys don't remember that cartoon? Or am I aging myself? But that's how it is. So we have to cultivate, just like we cultivate a garden, we have to cultivate our families, fathers. Look at Ephesians 5:26-27. Talks about the husband loving the wife like Christ loves his church. He says that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, a glorious wife, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Are you following me? A father has to cultivate his wife. We talked about earlier that when a man takes a wife, he becomes her father. You guys been to weddings? The first thing that happens is when the bride comes down to the altar, her father meets her at the altar and hands her hand over to her new father. Oh, y'all don't like that, huh? Yeah, y'all don't like that. See, wait a minute, Pastor Chuck. I see some necks moving. And wait a minute, Pastor Chuck. See, it's cool. She calls him Daddy when she wants something. Daddy, can I have a few dollars to go get my hair done? And Daddy, I need the credit card so I can go do this. Hey, Daddy. But as soon as you do something wrong, you ain't my daddy. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Not in this church, but maybe some other churches we have women like that. So a father has to recognize that he not only has to be a father to the children, but he's a type of father to his wife. This is why the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5 that he must sanctify her with the washing of the word, that he must present his wife. Are you following me? Just as Christ presented his wife, the ecclesia, the church, presented his wife as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So when he saw something that wasn't quite right, when he saw his wife gossiping, she liked to get on the phone and talk about other folks' business and things like that. When he saw that type of thing going on, he said, wait up, honey. We need to glorify God in everything that we do, and gossip is a sin according to the word of God. So we need to clean that up. He saw that she wasn't in her word. Baby, look, there's a women's Bible study down at the church. I thought you might be interested in and going down there and being a part of that. Hey, baby, I see that you're struggling with our young kids. I see they're driving you a little crazy. You know, they got a women's group at the church that for women with young children. And maybe you should go and check it out or whatever. See, he has to present his wife. Because one thing you have to understand is what I've come to understand, and I thank God for it, is when I realize that she might be my wife, but she's still his woman. She's my wife, but she's his woman. So I better take good care of his woman. Because I got to present her to him in whatever condition she's in. It better be better than the way he gave her to me. Come on now. When my father-in-law, when my earthly father-in-law sees my wife, I better make sure that she looks as good as she did when he gave her to me as she does now. Are you following me? Same way with God the Father. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go. Cultivating, when you're cultivating your garden, when you're trying to get a plant or a tree to grow a certain way, you have to cultivate it, which usually requires... I'm tongue-tied, requires some type of cutting. Sometimes you got to cut away some stuff. Sometimes you got to take away some privileges because there's a way that you want them to go. Sometimes you got to unsubscribe to certain channels in order to train them up, not in the way they want to go. The Bible says train them up in the way that they should go. Remember back in that garden where we opened our message, we said that God put him in the garden. Are you following me? That's part of cultivation. You train them up in the way that they should go. Means you got to cut away some stuff sometimes. Cultivation requires discipline. It requires consistency. It requires dedication. It requires time, energy, and effort to properly cultivate what God has put inside of others and given you to be. See, a father wants to bring out the best. He doesn't just hope for the best. Listen, some fathers just hope their kids turn out all right. You know, I do the best I can and just kind of hope they find their way. Oh, let them go, make their own mistakes and do all that. They'll learn eventually. No, a father wants to bring out the best in their children. Listen, I want my children to thrive because of me, not just survive me. Are you following me? Third, a father must protect what God gives them charge over. Fathers protect not only what's theirs, but whatever's around them. Listen, as fathers, we got to take responsibility for children that may be around us. We got to take responsibility for our neighbors who may not have fathers in the home. Are you following me? If you have a reasonable portion of your strength, of your health, and your mental stability, then you got to start looking beyond what's just going on in your house. Look into the neighborhood and see where you could best be used. Because there are wayward children out there that all they need is someone to say, hey, I'm looking. Hey, I'm watching out for you. Hey, I'm trying to point you in the right direction. Are you following me? Fathers not only protect, fathers protect from outside sources as well as inside sources. Oh, watch out now. There's a lot of stuff in our world today that's trying to infiltrate our homes. And some of it we invited in through our televisions, through our internet. And, you know, but those are outside sources. A father has to be aware of what's going on in his home. A father has to know where his children are. He has to know where they are physically. He has to know where they are mentally. He has to know where they are emotionally. And most of all, he has to know where they are spiritually. Listen, when that fall occurred in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, the father, remember he wasn't talking to Eve. He said, Adam, where are you? Brothers, I asked you the same day, where are you? See, this father wanted to know where his child was at. And when he asked Adam where he was at, do you really think that he didn't know where Adam physically was? Did you think that that Adam could hide from God? God doesn't need GPS navigation to find anyone. Are you following me? He wasn't asking Adam where he was at positionally. He was asking where he was at spiritually. He said, Adam, where is your head at? Adam, where are you? You're far off from where I put you at. See, that place that I placed you in, my presence, you're not in my presence anymore, Adam. Because you've disobeyed. You've done what I told you not to do. So a father must know where his children are at all times. He has to know, are they being physically nourished? Are they getting enough exercise? Are you following me? He has to know where they are emotionally. Do they have the proper emotions? Do they have empathy for other children? Do they play well in the playground? Or are they banned from the playground? Are you following me? Do the other kids see your child coming and run the other way? You need to know that. Amen. And don't always take your kid's side just because they're your kid. If the whole school complains about your kid being a bully, you might want to. See, Father may not be able to stop all of the outside forces, but he can prevent their influences from taking hold in their homes. And sometimes we got to take drastic measures. Listen, cable is not a right, it's a privilege. You don't have to, you can't actually survive without cable television. Listen, one of these days when somebody actually knows and cares what I say, I'm going to start a Christian blackout. I'm going to request that all Christians in the United States of America to unsubscribe for their cable for 3 months until they start putting some programming on there that we can stomach. Amen. Are you following me? Because you can't watch TV for 5 seconds without seeing some form of debauchery. Exactly. And be careful because they put it in cartoon forms. Have you guys ever seen a show called Family Guy? I watch that show on purpose for 2 minutes. Every time I see it on, I stop to look for 2 minutes to see how long it's going to take for them to throw something out there that's just absolutely absurd, and it never fails. 2 minutes is all it takes of that show for you to see something that's utterly ridiculous. And they put it in a cartoon. Why do they put it in a cartoon? Because kids like cartoons. Come on now, you got to beware of the wiles of the enemy. He's very slick. Are you following me? Oh, it's just fun and no, it's not. South Park? Oh, no, it's not just fun and games. It's debauchery personified, and you better know what's going on. The fourth thing of principle of fatherhood is you must teach what God instructs you. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're almost there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, and I'll read it for brevity of time. Says, now this is the commandment, that these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel as they're preparing to go into the promised land. I mean, you know, there's some rules to inherit the promise. There's some prerequisites before you get the promise. And the reason that you haven't gotten the promise yet is probably because you haven't got all the requirements yet. It's probably because you haven't lived up to all the expectations yet. So there's some rules and some things that you must know before you inherit the promise. So that's why sometimes God's promise to you has been delayed but not denied. He says that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all of his statutes, there's that word all, and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson. Somebody say a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So he says, you may keep his commandments that I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, not on Sundays. He says, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 6, he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. David, thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You shall teach them diligently, not passively, not hope they pick it up somewhere, not just send them to Sunday school and hope that they get it. It said, no, you shall diligently teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way. So when you're at the dinner table, you should be talking about the word of God. When you're at the mall, walking your way, you should be talking about the word of God. When you lie down and when you rise up, the last thing on your mind before you go to sleep, the first thing on your mind when you wake up, should be pertaining to the word of God. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, anyone that's in your house, you're responsible for training them up in the word of God. Listen, oftentimes fathers don't teach their children the lessons because they don't know the lessons themselves. Are you following me? Fathers need to know the word as well as they know the world. See, some fathers know every boxing record. They can tell you who's fighting who, when, where, time, what arena they're going to be at. They can tell you all of the stats and all of the Heisman Trophy winners. Are you following me? Tell you all of the national champions and all of, they know everything about sports. They know everything about fishing. They can tell you what type of lures to use when you want to catch that catfish, like I'm going to catch on Saturday. Or that big mouth bass. They can tell you, hey, you use this kind of lure, this kind of rig, which I'm going to catch on Saturday. Are you following me? They can tell you a whole lot about the other stuff, but when it comes to the word of God, like Scooby-Doo. And what Scooby-Doo say? Raggy. A father has to know the word of God so he can teach them to their children, to his children and to his household. This is his responsibility. Amen. Are you following me? It's been his responsibility from the beginning, and it's his responsibility in the end. When Satan talked to Eve in that garden, he asked her, well, did not God say that you would, did he say that you would surely die? Well, the Bible never recorded God having a conversation with Eve. But she knew something. Where did she get it from? She got it from her earthly father, her husband. Are you following me? So it's been a responsibility of fathers from the beginning of time to teach their children what God is teaching them. Amen. The principles of fatherhood we discussed today. He loves God's presence. He loves the presence of the Lord. He doesn't shun away from it. He goes after it. He goes toward it despite how it may feel. But sometimes going to church is hard because you feel convicted. And conviction doesn't always feel that good. Because you have to come to a point where you have to admit that you're not living right or you're not doing something right. But if you would just fight through and enter into the presence of God, At the end of the day, there'll be fullness of joy. I've never heard anyone say, man, I really wish I hadn't gone to church today. That was really a waste of time. But I heard people say, man, I need to do this more often. Are you following me? Nobody ever said, man, I prayed for an hour and I really wish I would have watched the game or something. No, I heard them say, man, that was a good time with the Lord. Never heard anybody say, man, I really wish I didn't read the word today. That was a waste of time. But I've heard people say, man, I just got so much out of that word. Why don't I do this more often? Why? Because the enemy, like I said, his desire is to keep you out of the presence of God. And he's going to do it however he can. He'll put the Laker game right on Wednesday night when it's Bible study time. That ain't right. No, he ain't right. How you going to put a Laker playoff game on a Monday night when you know that's the time that I spend with the fellas? That ain't right. Come on, some of y'all say that ain't right. But I never regretted spending time with the fellas studying the word and missing the Laker game. They lost anyway. Amen. Now my schedule is free for June. I can do whatever I want to do and not have to worry about scheduling around the Laker game. So I bless the Lord for that. See y'all in 2012-13. A father desires to work. You all know the scripture, if a man don't work, he don't eat. He shouldn't eat. Man doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, Paul said. So he desires not only just to have a job, but he desires to do the work that God has placed inside of him. Then a man is able to cultivate what God has placed in his care. He understands that everything that he has doesn't belong to him. Those aren't, though they might be my kids, but they're his kids. The spirit in me needs to cultivate the spirit inside of my children. Are you following me? That woman that he gave me, that's not, you know, that's my wife, but it's still his woman, his creation. And I need to present and cultivate her in the right way. Then he protects what's under his care. Listen, everywhere you go as a man, you should be looking to be responsible for what's going on around you. If you're out at the mall and you see a bunch of knucklehead kids running amok, then you as a father with wisdom, this 2012 things happen, with wisdom, you might want to interject a little wisdom. Hey, brothers, I don't think you should be doing that. You might want to consider that. Are you following me? We see a young girl not misbehaving or something, she may respond really well to that because she probably never had anybody tell her that her behavior was inappropriate. So as a father, you got to look around you and understand that I'm responsible for whatever. Everywhere I go, I'm looking around and saying, man, I'm responsible for all of this that's going on around me. If something goes down, I'm going to be the first responder. Amen? But with wisdom. You know, you don't want to get shot. Just to get shot. But there are some things that are worth dying for. Are you following me? See, a man is described by what he's willing to die for. And if you haven't, Martin Luther King said, if you haven't found something worth dying for, then you're not fit to live. And I'm here today to tell you there are some things that in my life that are worth dying for. I die for this, for the word of God. Are you following me? And then he said, then the last principle, a father must know God's word, must keep God's word, and must teach God's word to others. Amen? Amen? Bless the Lord for this series and this message. Give the Lord a hand praise.